面かって言うと、この他人、他人って言うと、他人って言うと、天の番組で呼ばれる、まあ、と、ねえのもまん、ジュルワータンのジュルワータン、ジュルワータン。
Thank you. Suffering to be happiness, unfolding what does not exist as a self to be a truly existing self, then these four thoughts are improper conceptual activity, or in other words, wrong or perverted thoughts, ideas. And the Buddha said, to make it very easy, one can say what is here called improper conceptual activity. These are thoughts which are based upon an error, which are faulty. This can be compared to dreaming and not recognizing that one is dreaming, and therefore holding the dream appearances for truly existent. So then this kind of idea is improper conceptual activity or wrong thinking. And on the basis of this type of wrong ideas and concepts, thoughts, then first mental poisons will arise, and on the basis of this, again, one will accumulate karma. And so, mental poisons and karma are likened here to water, and then out of the water, like karma and mental poisons and karma, then the five skandhas, the 12 ayatanas or entrances, and the 18 elements will arise. And then in the same way as the world comes into existence and later disintegrates, and in the same way also these come into existence and disintegrate. And to make it very short and easy, Rinpoche said, then on the basis of mental poisons one accumulates karma, and on the basis of this karma one then has to undergo various sufferings. And so this is also the reason which is said why we should meditate on the non-existence of a self. Once through this meditation we have realized the nature of selflessness, then by this realization our basic ignorance is cleared. Once ignorance has been clarified, there will be no arrival of mental poisons. When there are no longer any mental poisons, one will not accumulate karma. When one has not accumulated any karma, one will not be forced to be reborn within samsara or the cycle of existence. Undefiled and free from any stains, extremes, and that is first explained by means of the explanation of the way in which the essence is free from arousal and cessation. And this reads, like the element of space, the nature of the mind does not depend upon causes or conditions, nor does it depend upon a gathering of these. It has no arisal, no cessation, no abiding.
Namkha nam
also the essence or the nature of our mind, which is this, or the way in which our mind truly exists, then this is similar to space, in that the nature of our mind, just as space, has not come about due to causes and conditions. And if one puts that into a logical argument, then given the nature of our mind, it is similar to space, since it is beyond or away from any causes and conditions. And it is also all right to say, since it is the expanse, or yes, the expanse which is beyond causes and conditions. And the reason for this is the fact that the way in which our mind exists, or the nature of our mind, is free from an initial arising, it is free from a final cessation, and it is free from an abiding in the meantime. And for this reason, then, it is beyond causes and conditions. And as far as the nature of the mind is concerned, there are two ways of describing it. One would be to say that it is equivalent to a state of total freedom for mental elaboration, and another way of explaining would be to say that the nature of the mind is clarity or clear light. In the view of those who follow the Rangtong Majjhanaka system, then they would say that the Buddha nature of the Tathagata Gaba is a state which is totally beyond or free from any mental elaboration, any kind of concept. Whereas those who hold the view of the Shentong Majjhanaka system would then say that the Buddha nature is not just sheer emptiness, it is also not just a state of pacification of our mental elaboration, but it is the nature of the mind is by nature clarity or clear light. And the way then in the Buddha nature is empty according to this view is that it is empty of any kind of pollution or stain, and furthermore empty of any kind of anything that is conventional, anything that is, so to speak, connected with terms. And one can say, like one cannot lay one's hand on it, in terms of saying it exists or it does not exist. It is, so to speak, away from any kinds of terms and words. And so in this way then, in the view of the Shendong Majamaka, the Tathagatagarbha or the Buddha nature is described. And then when it says, so it says here that the Buddha nature does not depend upon causes and conditions, that has been explained. And it says further, nor does it depend upon a gathering of these. And in which he said, so this is very easy, since there is no coming together of causes and conditions, then initially to the Buddha nature there is no arisal, it never comes into existence, and not having come into existence at any time, it will never cease, there will be no cessation, and there being no coming into existence and no cessation, there is also not a time spent while it abides in the meantime. This is similar to what Milarepa has said in his song on the three nails. To describe the nails, no, which one was it? Yeah, view, isn't it? Yeah. To describe the nails related to view, the three, our life's appearances being a factor of mind, in luminosity space is native mind, in that there is no discrimination at all. And so in this way, also Milarepa himself has described the nature of the mind as being luminous or clear light. So therefore we should sing this song. And when Milarepa says, in luminosity space is native mind, he also described the nature of the mind as being beyond any conventional terms, concepts, and words. And beyond, so beyond anything kind of substantial. And then the second point explains the way in which the nature of the mind is totally pure and never touched by any defilement.
Yanda Mito Leson Gurchaso, Lord to make the new moment.
This clear and luminous nature of the mind.
Kang Yin is a Kang Patan, Kang Yin is a Kang Park. This is a Kang Park. Then there, Namka Yin to Jumite. Yanda Mito Leson Gurchaso, Lord to make the new moment.
This clear and luminous nature of the mind is changeless like space. It is not afflicted by this.
So the same general look there, Jura members, Juni members, check Tambu, Serti, check Kamba Nibake, and then Wesat and Jura members, Juni.
and the first two lines of this verse, then there the nature of the mind, which is clarity and luminosity, this is likened to space. And the second line then teaches that, like space, the nature of the mind is totally unchanging or changeless. And so this means, which is said, that the nature of our mind is clear light, and this is not such that there will be clarity at times, and at other times there would be none, but the essence of our mind is always luminosity or clarity.
Yanda mindo lezon do cha so lobo teme tenyo mongo jo. Tan de kap so teme ta so khe pa re. Yanda pa mai, mai pa le sunwe, min pa. Yanda mindo le sunwe, do cha, khe da nga ja tha do la so pa. Lobo te teme tenyo mongo jo. Te se jo dekhe nyo bo re. Dekhe nyo bo te, nyo mongo ma re, teme dekho ma re. Mo la teme le pa.
And the next two lines then explain that this nature of the mind is never stained by any obscuration, is totally unstained. So all the adventitious defilements, and these are the Mucha said, desire, anger, hatred, jealousy, pride, and so forth, all of these come about through wrong or incorrect thoughts, but they never pollute or stain the nature of the mind or the Buddha nature itself.
Then in Jura Mabri Sheba De Tanyi Jawanda Separa, Tanyi Tema Wanda Sene, Jura Mabri Sheba Mato, Nelo Moma, Jura Tam Majurva Tanyi Lendeva. Jura Major Lendeva.
So here, Mucha said, when the nature of the mind is described as being unchanging, then this again is to be understood that this is only true, so to speak, on the basis of using terms, when it is described by means of terms. In actual fact, the nature of the mind is beyond both being changing or changeless.
Tani je wang de se nan jirwa ye rewe se na jirwa ye wang de se la. Ne lo ngoma te, ne sem je ne lo ngoma te thar tong na kar. Jorda manjar je tani len de wa.
And so Umuchi said, if the Buddha nature, the nature of the mind is described as being clear light, then one may wonder, is this clear light, so to speak, changing or not? And then by means or on the level of conventional terms, then it is described as being changeless. But if one asks oneself, what is this essence or nature of the mind in actual fact, or was it, what is it ultimately, then it is beyond terms such as calling it changeless or changing.
Je rote chepare, pram je rote nyang, nyang na, nyunga te la, mune tanyi yo mare. Ina ya tanyi je mata na, kanya lap togo mare. Tanyi je gogo do tene, peke la ngar moa sita. Sen zambile nga, maso su, tanyi rere takware.
And so, what you said, this can be compared to, for example, if one puts sugar in one's mouth, and then tastes it, and so this taste is actually, what is actually tasted is totally beyond any term, beyond anything one could call it. But if one wants to relate to somebody how nice it is, so to speak, one has to use terms on the conventional level. And so then he said in Tibetan, for example, or we say the same, or in English now we say it is sweet. But the taste as such is beyond this type of terms and has got nothing to do with it.
Ne tani de mina, dona tani mina, ne lo la tani mina yang, tani mina tene
So although the essence or the nature of the mind is beyond any terms and beyond any words, but then if these are not used, the ignorance in this world will not be eliminated. There will be no way to communicate. It's the same when we eat food. Then some people will say this is sweet, or it's the contrary. So we have to use this kind of terms. And so, although the way the mind actually exists, or the nature of the mind, is free from any kind of conventional term, free from any words, and so forth, then one also has to understand the necessity of using terms and words to describe it.
And so
as for the way in which the nature of the mind is totally free from any pollution or stains, then the Buddha said, as far as the essence is concerned, it is never, at no point, been touched by any stains. It is just covered by pollution or stains which are adventitious, or in other words, able to be removed. And this can be compared to the sun when it is veiled by clouds. Then also when the sun is veiled by clouds, the sun itself is not stained or polluted by these clouds. Still, one cannot see it with one's eyes. And then on the level of the Vajrayana, the nature of the mind is described as being the inseparable union of emptiness and clear light, or clarity. And what is said, so this is actually something which builds up gradually during the teachings which pertain to the, or belong to the second turning of the wheel of the Dharma. Then the nature of the mind is mainly taught under the aspect of its emptiness. And then during the Tathagatagarbha Sutras, in the context of those, during the third turning of the wheel of the Dharma, then it is mainly the aspect of clarity or clear light is taught. And which is said, if immediately the nature of the mind were described as the union of emptiness and clear light, then this would be very difficult to understand. So this kind of view is introduced gradually. One first has to gain a firm conviction why one can say that the nature of the mind is empty, and then on the basis of this one has to gain a firm conviction of its aspect of clarity. And having, so to speak, gained this understanding, then one will also understand the union of emptiness and clarity. So if Rinpoche says, if one just spoke of this union of emptiness and clarity, and people should and try to make people understand it, they would not be able to, it would be difficult. Therefore, these aspects of emptiness and clarity have to be presented separately and well understood separately, and then after that one will also understand, so to speak, their union. And cessation or disintegration are summarized, and that again has several sub-points. And the first is, so to speak, a summary of the description in which way the nature of the mind is free from arisal and disintegration. And here it says, this nature of the mind is not brought into existence by the water of karma and the mental poisons and so forth. Hence it is also not consumed by the cruel fires of death, sickness and aging. And so here it describes that the nature of the mind, or which is the luminous Dhamma Dhatu, this is not generated or brought into existence by improper conceptual activity, which is like wind, and it is also not brought into existence by karma and the mental poisons, which are similar to water and so forth. And since it does not come into existence due to these causes and conditions, it is then also not destroyed or consumed by the fires of death, sickness and aging. And so death is likened to the fire at the end of time, sickness is likened to the fire of hell, and aging, the process of growing old, is likened to ordinary fire. And the reason why the nature of the mind is not harmed by these is the fact that it has not come about due to causes and conditions and is as such uncreated, and that it is unchanging. It does not change into something else. And so to put this into a logical argument, then one can say, given this nature of the mind, or the Dhamma Dhatu, it is not brought into existence, or it is not generated by the mental poisons, karma, improper conceptual activity, and so forth. And as such, it is also not consumed by the fires of death, sickness, and aging, since it is changeless and not dependent upon causes and conditions. And this is all, has also been expressed in one song by Milarepa that he sang to Sula.
Dhamba Sanji.
Dhamba
Sanji.
are just illusory or illusory appearances due to delusion, due to the clinging to real existence, and that as to the true nature, there is no such thing as birth and death. So Milarepa said he looks at this true nature, which is free from birth and death. And once one has realized the meaning of freedom from birth and death, then although on the relative level one is born and so forth, one will not be afraid of this anymore, one will not suffer by it, and this is similar to the way in which Gutsangpa has said, even though he died, this would be, one will delight in it, and which is that when this happens, just as Gutsangpa said, when the moment of death comes, that would be no fear, but that would be delightful. Went into the state of nirvana, then all his disciples were gathered around him, and he sang a pleasant song and smiled, and in this way he left. No? Oh, yeah. Oh. Right. Did everyone hear that? He had already died. I got that wrong. And then his disciples were so sad and cried, so he came back and sang this song and then went into nirvana. Yeah? Yes. Not this song, another one. And this is because he realized that death was just a concept. It was just like it was dream life and did not really exist. And then the second point is the explanation or summary of the way in which then disintegration takes place.
And
this is sickness and aging are to be understood in their given sequence as being similar to the fire at the end of time, to the fire of hell, and to ordinary fire.
And
And so, as has been said already, then death, sickness, and aging are likened to the three fires, of the fire of the end, at the end of time, and on which it says it is described that when a world comes to the end of its existence, it is then consumed by a great fire. And so death is likened to that. Sickness is likened to the fire of hell, and the process of aging is likened to ordinary fire. And this is due to the fact that just as the world is destroyed by the fire at the end of time, then the skandhas of this life are destroyed by the fire of death. And in the same way as the fire of hell generates suffering, then the same does the fire of sickness when experiences suffering. And just as ordinary fire, literally it says, causes the ripening of anything, or you can also say here maybe the consummation, then in the same way the fire of aging causes the final ripening of the skandhas. And so Rinpoche said, as long as one does not realize the meaning of emptiness, then this is like real fires experienced, and as soon as one realizes the meaning of emptiness, then these are like a fire experienced in a dream.
So but Nelong Tartok wanted to say no. May somebody you are patam, may patam daily, thereby. May somebody you meet the triple address.
And if this is then explained in accordance with the explanation of the ultimate true nature, then one can say that these three fires are beyond both being existent or non existent.
In a jurta, the Jura may by Keba Tela, Mata. Tombang, Gombang, Kangi, Jang, Mada, but same thing you got to do. The name Jama, Tombang, Tala, Gombang, Mada, San Papa, Sanjus, and the name got to do. Jama came the number Tapa, Sanji, you got to do. The song Janani, the name Tantan, Tombang, Gombang, Kangi, Jang, Mada, Mada, the name got so young, taking him for the do.
And so the way in which the Buddha nature is unchanging is explained by means of three stages or phases. And so these are the stage in which the Buddha nature has not been purified from any stain which is to be given up on the path of seeing and meditation. That would be the state of an ordinary being. And the second, and it is unchanging in that stage. A second aspect, second point then describes how it is unchanging in the state of a bodhisattva, when the states which are to be given up through seeing are purified, but the states which are given up through meditation are not yet purified. Sorry. And the third is then the utterly purified phase, when all the stains are eliminated. And out of these three, the first unchangingness has been explained now.
The name Dala Mada Pinneka Sojura Mepasi Sanhinko Sumateya.
And tomorrow Rinpoche will explain unchangingness in the partly purified and partly unpurified phase.
Dona Mada Pinnekavs Sintila, Yerichai Kedan, Ajahn Tato, Lakopa, Numon Kate Chimbo Junayo, Nelo Vesala Jura Pendu.
And to put it very short, also in the state of an ordinary being, no matter how much desire, anger, and jealousy, whatever may arise within a being, then these do never defile or change the true nature of the mind. And it is also not in the slightest changed by any suffering. Whatever suffering may arise to us, the suffering of based upon the body of physical discomfiture, or the suffering based upon not having wealth that one desires, or the suffering based upon not being together with friends or having to be together with enemies, or the suffering of a friend changing into an enemy, all these kinds of sufferings will never change the true nature of the mind. And now we recite the root text words. And for those who mainly meditate according to the view of the Shelong Majjhamaka system, then one should recite and think about these verses teaching the unchangingness of the Buddha nature in the three phases of total impurity, or not being purified at all, being partly purified and unpurified, and being totally purified. And if one meditates in this way, then combined with one's meditation, one's discriminated wisdom or one's understanding will jointly increase. And when one thinks about the reason why is this Buddha nature unchanging, even when it is not at all purified from all the gross impurities, why it is unchanging when it is partly purified from grosser defilements but not from the subtler ones, and why it is unchanging when it is totally purified from whatever defilement or stain. So now we recite the prayer of Maitreya, and is anybody there who does not have a book? And Rinpoche wishes a good morning to everybody, and he has the wish that we may practice Dharma by developing the three wisdoms of learning, reflection, and meditation, and by that become able to fulfill the benefit of limitless beings to a great extent.
Because we start by forming a good connection, we start by singing the song of good
connection.
The appearances of the past, which involves both something perceived in a procedural dualistic fashion, are finished, and therefore there is nothing there that one could form a connection with. The appearances of the future have not yet arisen, so there is nothing there one could form a connection with. So one should form one's connection well here in the present.
When we sing this song,
song of Midrepa on the meaningful connections here before the Guru, Jagannuche. This is a particularly good connection that we can form. We should sing this song again and again. It contains the words of Milarepa, which are referred to as true words. True words means that there is a special power within these words. Someone should sing them again and again and connect up with that power. We should now sing the song of the 12 things, which tends to be misleading, because the practitioner of Dharma needs to know what will be misleading and what will not deceive him.
Tendawo matapa yaputina tenege na yin matapa yaputina nyabanye jitondo data nyi nyabanye dayang matapa nyi yang matapa matapa de nyabanye jipo dan donga yang nyabanye te matapa gomjo yaputina nyabanye.
Also by remembering impermanence in the eight ways that are pointed out here in the song, one will be able to realize the meaning of equality. One will realize the equality of friends and enemies. Friends are impermanent, enemies are impermanent. Both friends and enemies are equally impermanent. We will also be able to understand the quality of happy states of mind and unpleasant states of mind. Both of these are impermanent as well and equal as impermanent. So by remembering impermanence, one comes to a realization of equality.
Nyamba ni ji tong to na, tene jing nyamba tam je dos hir. Jing zangbo tan nyamba tam je.
And by remembering impermanence, keeping it well in mind, whatever negative conditions we might face, they will be friends to our realization. They will be whatever unfavorable circumstances are encountered will turn into strengths, resources.
dindur 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 dindur.
And as Rinpoche has said before, we should start by giving rise to bodhicitta, the enlightened attitude, wishing to reach enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings.
In Gopata the Majorwa La Madata Neka Sanjura Metal Dortuku Sente Talam Madala Taka Neka Sanjura Metal.
Then out of the tenfold presentation by means of which the Buddha nature is taught in this text, we had arrived at the topic unchangingness, and under this heading then Rinpoche has shortly explained the way the Buddha nature is unchanging in the totally unpurified face, in the face of an ordinary being, when the stains are not at all purified.
Telayang keso jo manjur ve tong mu ten ba tang sa jo jar se ji ting mu so wa tang sa ve sa ji ni.
And he will now continue explaining unchangingness in the partly purified and partly unpurified phase, and this again then has two headings, or is taught in two parts, and the first is the explanation of the fact that the bodhisattvas do not undergo any change through birth and death and so forth.
Jeso jo manjur ve mutin la manjur yang jovar nansur tang ti tun jepar kepa nir.
And then in a second part, this will be explained in more detail, and the way the bodhisattvas are not subject to change caused by suffering and so forth.
The Tangpo Manjari and Jorvar Nansar ne Chenche na tang gawa le torwa de rangin cheke nye tote Jesu Pong Dam Trayan de ju.
And so, first there comes the explanation of the way in which the bodhisattvas appear to be subject of change, although this is in fact not the case. And this verse reads, having realized thatness, the nature of the Dhamma Dhatu just as it is, those who possess understanding are liberated from birth, death, sickness, and aging. Though they are free from the destitution of birth and so forth, they demonstrate these, since due to their realization, they have given rise to compassion for beings.
Jewa nava gav dunga yomare ina yang jewa gava nava jebe jeba ta tu temba de simpin na na ningi wang ke jewa ka na che ta tu temba re rang che ka na che ta tu tin de simpin jo ba che jo ke tene tanda simpin ne lo de chi ni mo to ko.
And so the bodhisattvas who have reached the bodhisattva levels have realized directly the nature of the mind, which is clear light, or in other words, this Buddha nature. And due to this realization, or on the basis of this realization, they are no longer subject to the suffering caused by being born, getting sick, aging, and dying. Nevertheless, though, due to their compassion for sentient beings, then they appear as if they were subject to these things, and they demonstrate these to beings in order to cause them, so to speak, to get afraid of this suffering and thereby then try to gain the realization the Bodhisattvas have reached themselves.
Tinam Papa Sanju Sambhata Samanam Ran Sentinela Vesa Dehini Bungan Sum the Topa Kaso Jevatunga Navatunga Gebatunga Jevatunga Yomare Dungalin Depe Shavatavare Tetar Topa Kaso Tene Sentinelo Dehini Bumato Bawanke Dunga Nazo and Yoma Sentinela Tene Ninji Jigure Ninji Topje Tene Sentinji Ton the Jeva Gava Nava Jeva Sorting.
And so the noble bodhisattvas, then at the time when they have realized the clear light nature of this mind, the Buddha nature, then they have gone beyond the suffering caused by being born, getting sick, aging and dying. They have gained the state of peace or pacification of all this suffering. Then nevertheless, seeing all those sentient beings who, due to the fact that they have not realized this nature of the mind, are subject to the various sufferings caused by being born and so forth, then they have great compassion for these beings. And then out of this compassion, they demonstrate these, they teach beings by means of showing themselves as someone who is born and so forth. But then one has to understand when the noble bodhisattvas demonstrate themselves or show themselves as someone who is born, who falls ill, who ages and dies, then this is only the way of appearance. It is not the way of actual existence.
And
then the detailed explanation which follows now has two parts. The first is the description of the way in which the bodhisattvas are not subject to the changes caused by suffering, and the second part then explains the way in which they appear to be subject to these changes, although this is not the case.
Tangbo Dunga Jinjura Majorne Pakpe Chadang Nawatang Gab Dunga Zenipang.
And So then the next verse explains the way the bodhisattvas are not subject to the change caused by suffering, and that reads, the noble ones have eradicated the suffering of dying, falling ill and aging at its root, which is birth due to karma and the mental poisons. Being free from this cause, they are free from this fruit. In the Tibetan, there is the computer has made a mistake. This should not be ne nada ne. In the third line, it should be le la karma, lasa le.
Papa Sanju Sibi Chivatang Navatang Gavatunga Savani Pambare Tijum Sin Karasana Jeva Jeganam Jete Leda Numongo Wanke Kovala Jigade Papa Sanju Sambala Dini Leda Kovala Jesi Leda Numong Mabesena Dini Kovala Jigna.
And so the noble bodhisattvas have totally or fully eradicated all the sufferings of dying, falling ill, and aging at their root. And Rinpoche says the reason for that is the fact that one will be born due to karma, which again is created due to the mental poisons. And so since the bodhisattvas have totally rid themselves of any mental poisons and of any karma which will cause a birth within samsara, then they don't have this kind of birth, and they're also free from the sufferings ensuing from that which are getting sick, aging, and dying. So there's a second little mistake the computer made, and that is the next line. It should be Dela Deme Sir Deme Nochi. So if one puts this line as it is actually in the Tibetan text into a logical argument, then given this, it is without this.
Since
this is also not present. So if one elaborates on this a bit, one can say that given the noble bodhisattvas, they are free from the sufferings of being born, death, and so forth, since they are free from its causes, i.e. mental poisons and karma, which gives rise to birth. And so for those who study Tibetan, then they will see how really wonderfully this is done here. In this one line, you get all the three parts of a logical argument. It's all present.
Yeah.
The noble ones have eradicated the suffering of dying, falling ill, aging at its root. First due to karma and the mental poisons, being free from this cause, they are free from this root. The noble ones have eradicated the suffering of dying, falling ill, and aging at its root, due to karma and the mental poisons. Being free from this cause, they are free from this root.
Asapje nipa, nipa nyingye lenjobar nansurne, jiji yanda tongwe ser, Jesu namlin de jurjang, niji dani jewatang, chadangada navartung.
And then the second part explains the way in which the noble bodhisattvas appear to be subject to change out of their compassion. And that reads, since they see reality as it is, the bodhisattvas are beyond birth and so forth. Yet having transformed into compassion itself, they demonstrate birth, death, old age, and sickness.
Dela tajur ko na te kangba nipa jeso namlen de par jorjang niji dani je sanju sambal sambada samanchuti jewa tang chedang ga dang nawartu jewa tang jewa tang nawartu be jumsin yo de yang yang ta pne lo cheta wa yin do thongwe se.
And so if one puts this into a logical argument, then one can say the noble male and female bodhisattvas, although they are beyond being born and so forth, have, so to speak, are the embodiment of compassion itself, and therefore they demonstrate being born, getting old, getting sick, dying, and so forth, since they have realized, they have dignity. Yes, I think it was
since... Jesu namlin de jo jan nyingi dan ni chu jin de. Jewa tang che da ga da na war tong se drup sa re. Che yin yang da thoma se ten zik re. Da da jo ko na. Jesu namlin de par jo na yang. Jesu se che ga nam che len de jang. San chu sanpa da papa san chu sanpa da sama. Che ga nam che len de pe san chu sanpa da sama chu jin. Nyingi dan ni jin chu jin.
So the last was the reason was since they have directly realized the nature of the mind. Buddha nature, the nature of the mind, contains both the seeds of discriminative wisdom and of compassion, then due to that, once this nature of the mind is realized, then one will have both great discriminative wisdom and great compassion.
Tangbo sem jipa, sem tangbo jipa, jopan cholo hyoba, ser mudo ba toba, jewa tama ba yuntin, tuyni rupi chepar de gab sa jengar.
And then the next part describes the qualities of the noble bodhisattvas as they are present on the different bodhisattva levels, and that is explained under 5 points. The first describes the qualities of somebody who has first seen reality as it is, and then the qualities of those who have gained access to supreme conduct, and thirdly, the qualities of the bodhisattvas who have achieved the level of non-returning, and then the qualities of the bodhisattvas who have reached the last birth, and finally, the fifth is then the explanation of the difference in between a bodhisattva and a Buddha.
Tangpo sem tangpo jebe sanju sembe yun ten tenpa ne gyase njurme chunye de to namare dong namje jewa laso tadane thongwa kanyi de me to pape chuyur topa kang sipe chuyur to tong de tenye sen nandrova ye nyeje tapta nyeje choshi sabas.
And so the next verse describes the qualities of a bodhisattva who has first given rise to bodhicitta, or in other words, attained the first bodhisattva level. And that reads, after the sons of the victorious one have realized this changeless state, those who are blinded by ignorance see them as being born and so forth. That this should be so is truly wonderful. They have attained the field of experience of the noble ones, yet show themselves as the field of experience of the children. For this reason, the method and compassion of the friends of beings are supreme.
Sa tangpo la nepe, sem tangpo jeba te, tuandam je sem tangpo jeba sa tangpo ore. Sa tangpo la nepe, jarve sepo sancho, sembata sema, jura mepe chunye, sem je nelo vaisa dekhi nyingpun tenye. ngon som to ne le nyu je le da nyu mong ko wang ge jian je le zhuo ne yang du sa xin jin na ma ri pe ki ra pe me dong ba zhe ba nam je jie wa dan jie wa la so ba da do tong ne de nam je tong se ba gang ye ba de ne ngon sa xin me de song wen zai ba ni do.
And so that is actually now the explanation of the first four lines, and this means that the sons of the victorious one, or bodhisattvas who have first given rise to ultimate bodhicitta, or in other words, who have reached the first bodhisattva level by directly realizing the changeless true state, which is the nature of the mind, which is the clear light, then due to their realization, they are totally liberated from the process of being born and dying, which are brought about by karma and the mental poisons. And although they are liberated from all that, then nevertheless, their disciples, whose eye of discriminative wisdom is blinded by ignorance, then they see them as someone who is born, who dies, and so forth. And the fact that the bodhisattvas who are beyond all these are seen in this way, and they teach on this basis and bring about the benefit of sentient beings on this basis, then this is something which is truly wonderful and amazing.
Tandi tausun dor dona sa tangpo le nepe sanjuk sempa te sema nam sem je ne lok te hi ni bu ngoy som tu tok pe se no te ne rang na che ga nam che dong a mi na yang sem je ji che de che ga nam che ta tu tan ba te ngon char ben je ba le ngon char me de song re.
If one puts that short, then one can say, although male or female bodhisattvas who have reached the first bodhisattva level, then due to their direct realization of the nature of the mind, they are totally free from the suffering caused by being born, dying, and so forth. And nevertheless, although they are free from these, then in order to teach sentient beings, they demonstrate themselves as someone who is born, who falls ill, and finally dies, and so forth. And this is an activity which is truly amazing and wonderful. And so when it then says that the noble ones have attained the field of experience of the noble ones and yet show themselves as the field of experience or within the field of experience of the children, then Ramuchi is said by the realization through which one attains the first bodhisattva level, then one has a field of experience which is totally away from the